Now this morning, we're not going to turn to Proverbs. We're going to turn to Numbers chapter 11, or chapter 13 rather. I'm going to depart from our normal study, careful verse-by-verse study of the book of Proverbs, because I believe that the time is short and I don't have all that much time to speak to you directly other than from here. And I feel this is extremely important. I can say that God has most certainly laid this chapter 13 and 14 upon my mind and heart for meditation. And I'm going to speak to you from this and how it pertains to us here as well as a group of professing Christians that are about to call and have called a pastor for our church. I'm going to read chapter 13 with the exception of all the names that are given, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel, and these were their names. And then skipping down to verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or no or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman and Sheshai and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came in unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch, which one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook of Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes, which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, and all the congregation showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land, which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants of thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Matthew Henry says that this is a warning for Christians. It is a warning for Christians. The first thing is the order that orders are given. Orders are given to send spies to search the land. It is said in this passage that God directed Moses to send them. But it would appear that in Deuteronomy, that the motion came originally from the people. And it came because of their unbelief. They would not take God at His word that it was a good land and that He would put them in possession of it. They had a better opinion of their own selves than of God's wisdom. How absurd it would be to send spies out into a land which God Himself had already spied out. Matthew Henry says, it is thus we ruin ourselves by giving more credit to the reports and representations of sense than to divine revelation. We walk too much by sight. We walk too much by sight and we walk too much by sense. God was no way accessory to the sin that was going to follow. For the sending of these spies was so far from being the cause of the sin that if the spies had done their duty and the people theirs, it might have been the confirmation of their faith and the good service to them. The instruction that's given to the spies: see what the land is. See whether it's good or bad. See whether it's fat or lean. And then the satisfaction of the people: bring back some of the fruit. Bring back some of the fruit that you find there as a proof. And then concerning the people, their number. Are they few or are they many? What about their size? Their stature? Are they strong or are they weak? What about their housing? Tents or houses? What do they live in? Are they open villages or are they walled cities? Was the land wooded or was it cut down? These were the things that they were to inquire about in the land. Now Moses dismisses the spies with this charge. Verse 20. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or no, and be ye of good courage. Be of good courage. Not only that they should be themselves encouraged against any of the difficulties of this trip, this expedition that they were going to go on, but that they should bring back an encouraging account to the people. and make the best of everything. Quoting Matthew Henry again, it was not only a great undertaking that they were put upon, which required good management and resolution, but it was a great trust that was reposed in them, which required that they should be faithful. Faithful, faithful. In all of this, these spies would see there should have been the greatest encouragements. But these encouragements became discouragements to them. Isn't that what oftentimes happens to us? Those things that should be an encouragement unto us actually becomes a discouragement to us. And then as it becomes a discouragement to us, then we in turn seek to discourage others in it as well. And you know what creates that? Unbelief. Unbelief creates that. The cluster of grapes that they retrieved. It was so large and so heavy that it had to be put upon a pole and two men carry it on their shoulder and bring it back. Just as God had promised, it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. Well, the spies return. And immediately the majority of those spies begin to discourage the people. They begin to discourage them from going forward. And then the majority of the people that heard that put all of their trust in the majority of these people that brought this discouragement. Rather than God's promises. The report of the evil spies that they brought back, verse 28. First of all, verse 27, and they told him and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it, here it is. Nevertheless," the big but, "the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites." All of these things that would discourage the people. All of these difficulties. So even though God had promised them this land, even though God told them that this would be a land that flowed with milk and honey, it is God that is giving them the land. They've seen it, and they come back with an evil report instead of a positive report. Matthew Henry again, "They represent the conquest of it as altogether impractical, and that it was no purpose to attempt it. Don't even try it. The people are so strong, and the walled cities and the giants, more troubles, more doubts, more fears." And you know what? Those evil spies are then able to transfer their attitude to the majority of the people. Their doubts and fears they are able to put over on the shoulders of all of the people, so that they doubt and they fear into the minds and into the hearts of the people. So finally, in verse 31, but the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. We can't do it. It's too great. It's too difficult. The Israelites were 600,000 men plus. It didn't make any difference that the giants were there or that the cities were walled. That meant nothing. Matthew Henry again. But though they deserved to be posted for cowards, that was not the worst. The Scripture brands them as unbelievers. It was not any human probabilities they were required to depend upon, but they had the manifest and sensible tokens of God's presence with them. They had all of that. They had God's presence and the encouragement of His power for them. The Canaanites were stronger than Israel. So what? Suppose they were. Were they stronger than the God of Israel? We be not able to deal with them. But isn't God Almighty able? Don't we have Him in the midst of us? Should have been their cry. Does not He go before us? And is anything too hard for God? Are we as grasshoppers in their sights, in the sights of these of these giants? Are they not as grasshoppers in the sight of God? Their cities are walled against us. Are they walled against God? Were not the Egyptians much stronger than the Israelites? Did the Israelites have to lift one finger to defeat Egypt at the Red Sea? Did they have to draw their sword one time? Had they not witnessed all of the plagues that God brought upon Egypt? Was there any army as well fed as the Israelites? God was feeding them. It didn't even cost them. And after all of this, we are not able. We're not able to go up against them. We can't do it. It's too difficult. God Himself. They are saying, in effect, that God Himself is not able to do what God Himself has promised to do. It was in effect to say and to tell him that he had undertaken more than he could perform. Now comes Caleb, which means all heart. All heart. Verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Let's go up at once. Let's go right now. And possess it. For we are well able to overcome it. Had Joshua and Caleb seen the same things that the other spies had saw? Absolutely. Absolutely he had. But he had a different heart. He had a different heart than the other spies. He saw God that could do all that he said he could do. He was encouraged by what he saw. He came back and said, had the other spies said nothing, he would have said, let's go. Let's go take it. He didn't say, let's go conquer it. He said, let's go possess it. We are well able. Aren't these the words that you want to hear when something like this is before you? When there's some difficult task that you're going to be involved in? When it appears that these giants that you're going to be facing are just insurmountable? See, again, going back to what Matthew Henry says, we operate too much by sense and too much by sight. Well, it's just too difficult. We can't do it. We're not able. We need the Joshuas and the Calebs to stand up. We are well able. That's the type of person that I want to hear when I come up to that difficult situation. I want someone to get my eye focused back on God and off the things that I see with my eye or my senses. And have my eye upon God, that He is able, and look at what look at what He's done up to this point. How He's provided, just as He provided for the Israelites. How He fed them, He clothed them, He protected them. He provided for them in every way. God has done that for us right here. He has done that. God has done that. Not us. We need to write these things down. Write them upon your hearts. Let's go up at once and possess it. For we are well able to overcome. That's part one. Part two tonight, chapter 14. Praise the Lord that God makes us well able, not ourselves, not our stature, not our wisdom, not our checkbook, not anything. God is able. Praise God for that. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank You for the precious, precious Word of God. May we put all of our trust and hope in You and not in the things or the circumstances or the difficulties or the trials or the walled cities or the size of the problem, whatever it is, as these Israelites faced with being on the edge of stepping foot into the promised land. They were there. And we'll see the result of this evening. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.